Good evening. You are tuned to this week's episode of The Score here on Highland Radio. It is Mark Gallagher here with you until 8 o'clock, and we'll be taking a closer look at what is happening in local sporting circles heading into what is a busy weekend. Lots to come in the next hour, including a chat with Athletics Ireland Club Development Manager Dermot McGranahan after Mark English's heroics on the European stage recently. In soccer, it's a massive weekend for Coghill Celtic, and I've been speaking to centre-half Peter Doherty to look ahead to their FAI Junior Cup quarter-final this coming Sunday. And it is soccer we begin with. Finn Harps and Derry City both back in action in the SSE Electricity League tomorrow night. Harps are bottom of the First Division standings and have lost each of their last six fixtures, with their two previous games against Longford Town and Bray Wanderers ending in 5-0 defeats. Cove are the visitors to Finn Park this week. The Cork side are still in the hunt for promotion, as they currently occupy the last promotion playoff spot. Under the guidance of interim manager Mark Connolly, Derry City face a trip to Dalymount Park to take on Bohemians in the top flight. Bows are third in the table and eyeing up a European finish once again. So, to talk all things League of Ireland, I'm now joined in studio by former Harps captain Declan Boyle. Declan, thanks very much for popping into the studio once again. How are things?
Good, Mark. Good to be here. Yeah, thank you very much.
So, this week, Declan, another chance for Patrick McElhinney to get his first points as Harps interim manager tomorrow night. Another tough game on the horizon. Cove are the visitors to Finn Park this time.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose... he's probably dying to get, a positive 3 points just to turn things around a wee bit. It's been a heavy few results against him, obviously, and it's been difficult since he came in. Just lost more players as well on top of that, but the results haven't been great. If you look at it, and then Cove, we played them 3 times. We drew in the first one down in Cove, and we've lost twice since that. So Cove will probably think that they have a chance of getting 3 points in Finn Park. So they'll be obviously gunning for 3 points, but it's an opportunity, obviously, at home for Patrick and the team to put in a good performance. Probably hopefully have a few players back after not playing last week, so that gives us a chance to any players that are carrying wee knocks to be available for the match on Friday night. So, yeah, listen, he's probably looking to obviously get off another start for us, another 3 points for him, and an opportunity to move up the table a wee bit.
So those couple of 5-0 defeats on the bounce, what has gone wrong there? Why the slide? Can you put your finger on a reason why they might have, been so weak defensively in the last couple of games?
They lost a few players, obviously. The two centre halves are out injured as well, and they don't have a great, a lot of cover in that area, and that's probably one area that, Patty would like to address, so obviously, you're weak in that area, and probably before that you were conceding goals as well. I mean, you lost to Kerry 2-1. Cork beat them 3-0 as well at home, so, and then they've lost a few players, two centre-halves are out injured as well. And when you lose your spine of your team, it can be very, very difficult, especially away to Bray, who are free scoring at home for sure. And then obviously Longford was probably a sore one before that, because you're expecting maybe you get something out of Longford, and the performance at the very, very start was very good, and then you lose players being sent off, and that probably harms the result and makes the result look very comfortable at 5-0. But, the performance at the very, very start wasn't bad at all by Harps.
And a look at the table these days is far from pretty for Finn Harps. The thing that jumps out the most maybe is that goal difference. 53 goals conceded, which is pretty much 2 a game. If you look at it, you're not going to win too many football matches if you're going out and you're going to concede 2 a game before you start.
Yeah, and we haven't scored a lot of goals neither. So it's a bad bad way to be when you're conceding a lot of goals and then you don't look like scoring a lot of goals neither. So scoring's been a problem for them in conceding. There are areas you need to look at, obviously, and Patrick's come in and he'll know better than anybody probably that in the areas that he needs to obviously strengthen up, and defensively they need to get better. They probably need to get a bit more quality in the top end of the pitch and a goal scorer as well, so those kind of areas that he would love to address, it's been difficult. It's not good reading when you see the results, and it's definitely not seeing when you look at where we are. We're positioned bottom of the table. That's been a long, long time since we've been really down there. Down through the years, we've always been up fighting for promotion. It's not It's not good to see us down there at the minute. You have to say that the quality of players aren't good enough.
One or two new faces in and going out during the window. The two that departed Finn Park, Nathan Lumingo and Alex Fanley. Lumingo maybe didn't really show us that much, but Fanley is an interesting one. He had a fairly decent time at Harps and will probably go down as maybe a loss now going forward.
Yeah, I suppose with the squad of players that we have, and we don't have big numbers to be letting players go. Yeah, listen, you know, and he, as you mentioned, he actually done really pretty well throughout the season, you know. So now maybe we don't know obviously the ins and outs and what's happening there on the ground, like, you know, and maybe a reason why he is leaving. So it mightn't be a club decision at all. He might want to go himself. I'm not 100% sure how that is, but you know, at this stage of the season, you're thinking you try to keep those players because you are thin on the ground in regards to numbers, you know. So but yeah, listen, two more players let go. There was obviously three or four let go earlier in July as well, so you're losing these players, and it's you know, for some reason or other, you know, unless you wouldn't, for me, you know, you wouldn't be losing players until you bring players in. Yeah, he's brought in two players obviously, and that's strengthened up, but we've lost four or five even outside of the two that we, you know, you mentioned. So yeah, listen, it hasn't been easy. I know it's very difficult to keep players when results aren't going well and there's negativity around it. You're down the bottom of the table. It's obviously easier to keep players when everything's positive, results are good, and you're fighting up the top of the table. You know, it's easier to keep players happy. So I don't know why they were let go, but there's obviously a reason behind it. And you know, so listen, we'll just have to go with that. But yeah, listen, probably of all players, he's probably one of the better players that out of the group that came in and started the season that done reasonably well.
That's the outgoings. You did mention that a few players came in as well. Kieran Harkin came in, good player. And more recently, we saw the entrance of Ronan Ferns and Finn McKenley. McKenley's a 20-year-old midfielder, comes from New Zealand, actually played underage for New Zealand and played in the A-League, so he'll be a decent player. And Ferns is an interesting one, a product of the Celtic Academy, captain Scotland at an underage level. So on paper, anyway, that sounds like someone that might be able to come in and do a job instead of the ship defensively.
Yeah, absolutely. Young, obviously, loads of energy, you know, so that'll not be a problem, you know. So he'll definitely bring a wee bit of quality. Kieran Harkin, obviously, the other end of the scale, loads of experience. Kieran was at Sligo Rovers there up until recently, obviously, so I know all about Kieran. So he's going to come in there, very vocal, well-organised, you know, and gets around the pitch and make things happen. So I suppose he's went for that wee bit of experience and that wee bit of energy as well from the two younger players coming in. But they, on paper, looked have loads and loads of ability, playing at a high level as well. So hopefully they'll be really good additions to the Finn Harp squad and to starting 11 going forward, you know, and we'll see what the impact they're going to have. So hopefully, you know, trying to get the balance right. And I know down through the years it's always been difficult to get players up to Finn Park because of where we're situated in the northwest, and on top of that now the players are looking for a lot of money to come to areas, you know, and you're always fighting against them going to other clubs as well. So it can be difficult to recruit players, you know. And you know, I suppose hopefully with the investment coming in, there'll be more money spent on the players, and that'll hopefully make it easier to attract better quality players to Donegal and to Finn Harps.
So with all that being said, Cove, the visitors tomorrow night to Balbuffet. It's been a tough few weeks on and off the pitch. Do you think Harps have it in them to go and pull something out of the bag tomorrow night and get a result?
Yeah, I think if they have one or two of their better players back, obviously, you know, so that would help regarding the centre half position. I know Wilson O'Wara, who scored two down in Cove, he's left Cove, so they've let him go, obviously. So, yeah, listen, you're hopeful it's been a good enough performance. I think I would take a draw now. Somebody's offering me a draw just to stop the run of defeats. But yeah, listen, on their day, they can play reasonably well. They can do. They could probably get 3 points against Cove, but it's going to be a big ask for me.
Well, Jeremy Doherty will be there, and he'll be providing live updates on here on Highland from the 7:45 kickoff tomorrow night. Elsewhere, champions elect, maybe we could call them at this stage, Cork City are away to Treaty. Kerry host UCD, and Athlone go to the southeast to take on Wexford. So, Declan, switching to Premier Division matters. Between league and cup, Derry City are two from two since Mark Connolly came in, but tomorrow night's clash away to Bowes is maybe possibly the first big real test for Mark in charge.
Yeah, I think so. Watched the cup match against UCD. Thought the performance was okay. UCD had chances and they hit the posts, and yeah, they missed one or two chances as well. So UCD could have got it. You know, brought that into extra time for sure. I mean, I thought Derry were the better team, but with the quality of players that they had, I thought Derry were just okay, you know. So that performance, if they mirror that same performance against Bowes on Friday night, I can't see them getting a result. They need to be a lot better than they were against UCD, and I expect them to do that as well and perform to a higher level. The results so far, obviously, you know, Derry beating 4-1, 1-0 to Bowes, and a draw as well. So this game could go either way, you know. I know down through the years, Derry have performed well in Dillie Mount Park against Bowes, you know, so. And as you know, they've brought in extra players and real, real quality. So, you know, I know they've lost a lot of players and there's been a lot of in-going and out-goings, but they have, you know, put on real quality players into the squad, and you're hoping that they're going to have an impact as well going forward into the latter stages of the season. So, yeah, you're expecting a big performance from them. Can they go there and turn them over? Bowes are sitting third in the table, have real, real quality. When they're in song, they're very, very difficult to play against, you know, but at times they've been very good. And times have been very poor, so you don't know what Bowes team's going to turn up on the day. But you know that'll be a really good game. Not, I can't see too much in it, and that could go either way. That could be a 2-1 or a 1-0 for either one of those teams, and you wouldn't know which way it would go.
I was going to ask you about Derry's business in the transfer market. Every year it seems to be a lot of activity, a lot of players going out, a lot of players coming in. But maybe this summer the likes of Tyler Smith, Ellis Chapman has come in, Dara Burns in the middle, Nick Twisk, Brooklyn Lyons Foster. These players have come in, and in fairness to Derry, they have had a decent amount of game time since arriving. So maybe they're on the upward curve in terms of that.
Yeah, I don't know why there's been so many players coming and going in Derry, you know, over the last year or so. The numbers have been absolutely and through the roof in regards to players coming in, and then there's players obviously who are loan, they're always going to go back, you know. But it can be difficult when you have a lot of players coming and going all the time, and it's trying to get that wee bit of stability in the club where, you know, you have a group of players that are there and you have them for two or three seasons, and then can you add, you know, a bit more quality from the areas that you're lacking a wee bit in. So strategically, the recruitment have been very, very poor. There's no long-term planning at all, and it's very, very, you know, ad hoc, as they say. But yeah, listen, you mentioned the players, Dara Burns, like loads of experience, League of Ireland, obviously played with Shams as well. Ellis Chapman played with Sligo Rovers. Hasn't really worked for him when he was at Shelburne. Left Sligo Rovers, very, very good attacking midfielder. But, you know, loads of ability, you know, and Tyler Smith as well scored against UCD. So they, you know, they have real quality. We know their budgets are big. These players are well paid. And, you know, that Derry team needs to start performing to a higher level, because where they are in the table versus the budget line, you have to say that they're well below where they should be.
Yeah, and if you are to look at the table, it obviously looks as if there's going to be a very definite top three. Maybe you've got Shamrock Rovers, St Pat's and Bowes. Then there's a drop off of 7 points to Dundalk. Derry are 14 points off Bowes ahead of tomorrow night's game. It's too big of a gap to close between now and the end of the season. There's not enough games, and Derry are not really consistent enough anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. They'll have to go on a very, very good run. I suppose you looked at St Pat's maybe 2 years or 2 years ago. They went on a run and were really, really good and just missed out and won in the league the last day. But that's the kind of form they'd have to go into in order to catch, you know, into even Europe or catch Bowes. Mm. I suppose, listen, if you can turn Bowes over, you know, that brings that to 11. Is it catchable? It's, as you said, their form hasn't been consistent enough. They've nearly really turned it around. Now, I have seen them play in the last couple of weeks, and I think the performances have been better. You know, and listen, the quality of players they have, they could go on a really, really long run and be unbeaten between now and the end of the season. But I suppose if you're looking at the current form and results over the last couple of months, can they do that? I'm not 100% sure they will do that, but I suppose it's encouraging from, you know, Mark's come in there, obviously settle the ship a wee bit. We don't know what's happened in regards to the management structure or who's going to come in. Are they going to wait until the end of the season? We might hear that over the next week or two. They might leave Mark in charge until the end of the season, so it'll be very interesting. I know Richard Dunne's name's been floating around today in the paper, so I don't know if there's any truth to that or not, so time will tell, obviously.
And Derry, of course, that's the league, but they've also got the cup quarterfinals to look forward to. They're still there. A home last eight tie against Dundalk, which might be crucial that it's at the Brandywell. With Shamrock Rovers going out, the FAI is very much alive for any team that hits a bit of form going into the latter stage of the season.
Yeah, I think I would be delighted that Shams were knocked out of the cup over the weekend. Even though they were 2-0 up as well away against St Pat's, but St Pat's didn't really well get back into it. But yeah, listen, you know, you looked at the draw and there's a lot of real good Premier Division teams, so there was nothing going to be easy. So it was so important you got a home draw. Derry got a home draw, obviously, as you mentioned, against Dundalk. Like Rovers away to Waterford, so they were looking for a home draw. So, but home form is so important. But, you know, Dundalk have been really, really good away from home. They've produced big results. They won't be afraid to go where they're brand new well and put in a big performance. They've won there earlier in the season as well. So that's by no way an easy match for Derry, so when that match does come around. Can they go and win it? Yeah, absolutely. Derry could go and win the cup with the quality of players that they have. You know, you're looking at the threats that are left. St. Pat's are obviously are a big, big threat. So Bowes. You know, you've got teams there that really, really could can, but Derry, you're looking at it on form with the quality of players, they could actually go and win the cup. But it's going to be a big ask now, because every game now going forward is going to be very, very difficult. But they are at home against Dundalk, and they can go and win that game when that does come around.
So another top flight games tomorrow night. Dundalk play Galway United. St. Pat's are away to Dundalk, and Sligo Rovers, as you say, face Waterford in that relegation battle. Declan, that's a massive game at the bottom for Sligo. You'd probably go as far as to say it's must win tomorrow night in terms of their survival aspirations.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a big one. You know, you look at Graham Collin coming on the 6th of May, and Waterford 9 points behind Sligo Rovers. Now, if they won on Friday night, they can actually go 9 points clear. So that's a big, big, big difference. Form-wise, they're probably up there with the best of them in the country, and their form and the points that they've accrued over the last, you know, 3 months, they've been really, really good. Big victory last weekend as well. They rely heavily on set plays now, the long throw-ins, free kicks and corner kicks, and a lot of their goals. But do we know that the quality of players they have? Patrick Almond and Lonigan, they're scoring goals freely. Like, so there will be a big opposition for Sligo Rovers. We know Sligo know that this is one of those games that if they have any chance to avoid the relegation, they've got to go and win this game. So it's a big, big game for both clubs. Can Sligo turn produce the performance? They can. I suppose currently they're not playing particularly well. They had obviously beat Kerry 4-0 within that game. Kerry had a lot of chances to score, and if Waterford get half as many chances as Kerry got, they could go and win the game. So it's a big, big game for Sligo Rovers, and they know that this is probably the last chance. So you're expecting them at home, and so with so much at stake that they could go and produce a big result. But it could end up being either Sligo one or a draw. It's very, very difficult to see. But we know that Waterford come here and they've real, real quality top end of the pitch, and they have the quality to go and win the game as well. So that could go either way. I think the first goal can be so important in that game.
And we'll finish with a word on Sligo. They're obviously still in the cup. Big one over Kerry last week. And Kerry McHugh, some strike for Sligo last week against Kerry. You were in commentary. You seemed to be right behind it. It was some effort.
Oh, it was a great strike. Absolutely. He took a wonderful first touch off his chest, and he just latched onto it. Technique was superb. Kept his knee above it, and you know, keeper had no chance. And he hasn't scored too many goals. He scored against Shamrock Rovers early in the season up in Tallaght. It was a really good finish as well.
Yeah.
And to be fair, he took over the captaincy as well. His form over the last 3 months has been really good. He's probably been Sligo's most outstanding player, and his performance been really good, and the experience he has. So, you know, he has an important part to play, obviously, tomorrow night and going forward the rest of the season. But, you know, he's really leading by example. He's loads of experience playing across the water and Scotland and India as well, and he's won trophies. But you know, you can really see that quality. But yes, a wonderful goal he scored last week, and hopefully he might produce another one maybe on Friday
That's
night.
It. Yeah, it's good to see Kieran McHugh back in Ireland, back playing well, and as you say, hopefully he can steer Sligo to another one tomorrow night. Former Finn Harps captain Declan Boyle, thank you very much for joining us on The Score once again this evening.
Cheers, Mark. Thank you.
No problem. Good to have you. Now, we're going to stay with soccer for the time being. Last weekend, Coghill Celtic overcame a massive hurdle in their bid to win a second ever FAI Junior Cup. The Inishowen side went to Limerick to face reigning champions and 10-time winners Fairview Rangers, and came away with a 1-0 victory thanks to Jason Breslin's first half header. That result means Gavin Cullen's men have now reached the last 8, and welcome Cork outfit Coachford to the Charlie O'Donnell Sports Grounds this coming Sunday. Coghill won the FAI Junior Cup in 2024, and a deep run in this year's competition is ideal preparation for the upcoming League of Ireland National League third tier, which gets underway next weekend, the weekend after this one. Experienced centre-half Peter Doherty has won it all with Coghill over the past 15 years or so, and he is back in the heart of defence after a groin injury kept him out for a lot of last season. I've been speaking to Peter in the lead-up to Sunday's massive occasion at the Charlie O'Donnell Sports Ground. So another big game ahead of the weekend for you. You've had your fair share of big days with Coghill, but I suppose they don't come an awful lot bigger than a home quarter final in the FAI Junior Cup.
Nah, it's massive. I was just thinking there, I don't think we've ever had a draw quarter final or above at home. We're usually always tripping down the road to Dublin or Cork or wherever. So it's great to bring a draw of that calibre to Coghill.
That's it, and it'll be a good occasion at the weekend at the Charity O'Donnell Sports Grounds. But maybe we'll get into Sunday's game in just a second. But first of all, I want to take you back to last week. You had the daunting task of going to Limerick to face reigning champions, 10-time winners, Fairview Rangers, and came away with a 1-0 win. I would say that was satisfying, to say the least.
Oh, it was. It was a massive result. We knew quite a bit about them. We knew we were going to be massively up against it. With the travel, with their quality and everything. I think they cleaned up everything in Limerick last year, including the FAI Junior Cup. So they had a really pedigree about them. So now we were delighted to get over the line.
And I was thinking about this, as a centre-half, that's your dream, isn't it? Tight game away from home, knockout football, and then to come away with a clean sheet, and it just must have put you in some form coming up the road. That's the kind of result then that can really, really galvanise a squad.
Oh, 100%, yeah. As you say, it's brilliant. It was loads of defending, back to the wall stuff, especially that last 20, 30 minutes. It was tight going. But no, definitely, it is the type of result that brings the squad together. And with it being so early in the season too, it's literally our second competitive game. So it's massive.
And looking ahead to this weekend, last eight tie at home against Coachford of County Cork. You have won this competition before, and this is just another huge, huge opportunity to go deep into the competition once again.
Oh, it is indeed, yeah. But again, a really big ask. From what I hear about Coachford, they're a really, really strong team. I think they have their fair share of silverware down in Cork as well. So I'm expecting a really tight battle.
And I'm sure so will they. In terms of Coachford, they're obviously a decent side, as you say. But, I mean, they'll be coming a long way from home against previous winners of the competition and yourselves. So is it a case maybe of putting a marker down early against the Cork side?
I don't know if you say it like that. I'm sure they've done a fair amount of research into us. They probably know quite a bit about us. The only thing I'd say is to their disadvantage is I can't imagine that they've ever done a journey of that length before for a game. So maybe that's one thing that'll stand to us.
Yeah, possibly. Bigger picture, you've won this back in 2024. Peter, you've won a lot with Coghill, to say the least, but is that day that you've lifted the FAI Junior Cup maybe up there with the most special of them all, and what would it mean to the group to go ahead and go all the way and do it again?
It definitely was. It was amazing. I think with getting so close the year before with the final FAI Junior Cup, it kind of felt at that stage, well, that was an opportunity missed, and then to go and do it the following season was just amazing. Love them forever, love us the whole group forever. Now, and it gives a real pedigree to want to do it again. As I said, well, this is, I think we're going to do third tier, so this will be our last opportunity to go and try and win this tournament. So I think that's kind of sitting in the back of everybody's mind as well.
And from a personal point of view, I know you missed a lot of last season with an injury. You're back now in the heart of defence, and it must be good to be back playing regular football.
Oh, it's great. It's really, really hard. It was my first proper injury ever, touch wood. And it's just really hard to sit and watch when you're not involved and you can't influence. So it was a long few months of rehab and kind of trying to get myself right. But now I'm delighted to be back in the thick of it now.
Finally, just this run in the FAI Cup is pretty much perfect preparation. You did touch on it. You have the National League starting next week. It's perfect preparation, competitive games against top quality opposition. And I'm sure the squad, no matter what happens this weekend, the squad will be in a good place, and you should go into that competition next week full of confidence.
Yeah, we will indeed. I don't think you could ask for better games, as you say. In pre-season, usually you have a couple of friendlies and stuff, but it's kind of hard to match that real competitiveness. So this has been a daily preparation for us, really. This will be our third really competitive game in a week. And then obviously we're away to Merivale next weekend for our first game in the National League. And yeah, there's a really lot of excitement about the club within the group itself. Everyone's really looking forward to the challenge and what it brings.
There you go. That is Coghill centre-half Peter Doherty looking ahead to Coghill's game against Coachford this coming Sunday. It has a 1 o'clock kickoff time on Sunday, and we'll have live updates during our sports programme with Kieran Cannon. Junior football swings back into action this Sunday in the county with cup fixtures in Inishowen in the Clubman Shirts League Cup. Elie Celtic play QPS. Buncrana Hearts are up against Greencastle, and Cairn are away to Kildaff. There are also games in the Charlie O'Donnell Cup, so it's good to see junior football in the county back once again for another season. Up north on Saturday in the Irish League Championship, Strabane are at home to H&W Welders, while Institute go to Queens. There are two NIFL Premiership games on tomorrow night, Friday. Linfield play Cliftonville, and Ballymena are at home to Glentoran. On Saturday, Coleraine and Limavady are both away from home in the top flight. Coleraine are away to Carrick Rangers, while Limavady go to Larne. It's time for a quick break on the programme. When we come back, we're going to be turning the focus to athletics, so make sure to stay tuned for that. Talk soon. You're very welcome back to the second part of the Score programme. Now we're going to turn to athletics, and Athletics Ireland club development manager Dermot McGranahan says the county has a huge opportunity to harness the momentum of Ireland's recent success at the European Athletics Championships. Donegal's Mark English, as we know, became the first ever Irish male European champion when he won the 800 metre title in Birmingham last week, and it was just one part of the success which saw the Irish bring home four medals. English will no doubt inspire the next generation, and membership is expected to grow with the 10 clubs in the county. With that in mind, clubs are facing a real challenge in recruiting more coaches, officials and volunteers, and these individuals are essential, of course, to sustaining athletics at grassroots level. Speaking with Highlands Head of Sport Oisin Kelly, Dermot has made a rallying call for help and a special appeal to former athletes to set up and assist.
Well, Dermot, how are you doing? Welcome back to the Airwaves of Highland. It's been a while since we had a chat. How's things?
Good, Oisin. Thank you very much for having me on. Listen, things are good. As you know yourself, it's been a very busy time, you know, through athletics nationally, you know, and internationally. So it's been great time for athletics, you know. So it's been brilliant.
Yeah, everybody's riding the high at the moment off the back of the European Championships, where Ireland won various medals, of course. Stunning performances from our very own, of course, Mark English in there getting gold in the 800 metres. And this is a sort of golden period for Irish athletics again, so does Dermot.
Yeah, listen, Mark was tremendous. You know, his longevity of the sport, you know, really come back a long, long time and sticking with it, you know, obviously with Kate for the multi-events, Andrew 1500 and Rashida again. So there's great range of success throughout Europe and throughout national, you know. So that's an enormous time for athletics and throughout the country, you know. So I think maybe building that and getting momentum going now is really crucial to ourselves, yeah. You know.
What has been key for Ireland to get into this point now where they're at and able to win medals at major tournaments?
Yeah, I think, you know, deep down, you know, with Athletics Ireland, you know, as a whole, coaching programs and plans, one thing or another, obviously we have a real good structure of pathway program throughout the country as well. We have real good investment recently in coaching. We've brought Christian Malcolm and people like that, you know. So it's, as a whole, as an association, I think we're up in our game. But it all starts, obviously, has to start at club level, you know, and county board level, where all the seeds are sown, Oisin. So I do believe that starts there. But, you know, our high performance team has got so much better. Obviously, investing, maybe traveling to Armwell's team and stuff like that. So it's all a collective package sort of thing, you know. But again, grassroots is where it all begins, you know.
Yeah, and obviously athletes from Donegal who are now on a world stage and a European stage have come through that process. We mentioned Mark, but like aside from Mark, Mark's the golden guy now of Donegal Athletics as we see it. But yeah, in recent weeks as well, of course, Arlene Crossan of Fun Valley up there representing Ireland at Europeans. Ethan Dewhurst of Cheer Connell, Letterkenny AC's Aaron Frill, just to name a few who have competed on the big stage as well. And what they came through at grassroots level all played its part to where they are today.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you could mention, obviously, Tara Rose, you have Leo Yara, you have Harry McElwain, all people that who has represented Ireland recently over the last couple of weeks, you know, at European level and world level. Indeed, Ethan Dewhurst end up a first in the world. You know, that's a tremendous achievement. Again, what's that down to? It's down to our coaches, the likes of Brian McGonigal, the likes of Catherine, Catherine McDevitt, the likes of, you know, the likes of Mark Conley, people like that. There's so many people on the ground working so hard, and as Mark has said himself, you know, recently in interviews that it takes a wee village to try and get somebody to that level. But again, it's a tremendous work from the athletes, first of all, and obviously from the coaches at a club level. You know, and parents should be very proud of that and very, very thankful to the clubs and to the coaches for that element as well, you know.
Yeah. You released a statement earlier this week around harnessing this momentum of the Irish success at local level. But in the following paragraph, you also added that it's not a time now for complacency, that we have to keep moving forward. How do we continue to ride this momentum now at local level in your eyes, Dermot?
Yeah, so as it stands, actually, we're looking, you know, we're looking at 2,700 members in Donegal. That's going to rise rapidly. That's going to rise now on the success of the European Championships and indeed our local athletes. That's going to rise, and we're going to be, you know, it's not always, there's a caveat there that we're going to struggle for, and we are struggling for officials, for volunteers, for coaches, you know, and suppose, you know, what comes with, you know, increased membership. We have 10 clubs in the country, in the county, and working really, really hard. But we're struggling to have enough officials. So my call really is, I think, to try and get the likes of ex-athletes, get them back involved in the sport again. We have so many super, super ex-athletes. Some of them are still competing in Masters, you know, but I would call on them more so to try and get back involved with the club. They have so much experience. They have so much to offer to the young people. And just to get them involved at a local level, it doesn't have to be 7 nights a week, it doesn't have to be 5 nights a week. Just to harness maybe a wee talk and maybe just bring maybe one or two athletes along with them. And like we have huge people out there that has done international, local and whatever through over the years. And you know, to me, calling them back into the sport again, I think that's going to be help us with the momentum of increasing membership and indeed success again, you know, for the future.
Yeah, and it's the knowledge and the experience that they bring to these younger athletes as well, because they've been part of it and they've done it, and this is no disrespect to a parent or other volunteers who are in there, but when you get a past athlete that's able to come in and talk about experiences to an up-and-coming athlete, that can be a golden nugget, so it can.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, parents and volunteers have definitely got a place within every club in the country. But obviously, as you say, the experience and from ex-athletes, they know what it takes. They know the commitment. Like, there's so many of them out there that the commitment that they've put on over the years. And I still see people like Kay and Katrina out running there. And I just say to them, you have some appetite yet, you know, and it's amazing what they're doing. And to bring that back and bring their experience and bring their know-how most of anything else, and to talk to the young athletes, as you say, and indeed express how difficult our sport is and what you have to do to get to that level of Mark English or get to that level of Arlene Cross and people like that, you know. So that's crucial that we buy into that and we open our doors to these athletes, or to these former athletes, and these still, some of them, as I said earlier, some of them competing at this stage, you know, but I think that's really important, yes.
Yeah, and we'll mention the parents and the volunteers, because their input and their help is massively beneficial as well. And the clubs are there and the county board is there to help the parents and help the volunteers grow, and I suppose their aspect of what they're doing, and indeed the sport overall as well, Dermot.
Yeah, 100%, actually, because, you know, obviously, as a county board, we run so many competitions throughout the year. And as I said in my piece earlier, that takes 40 or 50 people to organise one event. It's the county board, you know, track and field event. It takes up to 40 or 50 people. And, you know, we're calling again on parents. You don't have to be an experienced official here. You know, just come in and you can shadow maybe someone that's been at it for a while. And we have some of the best. We're punching way, way above our weight nationally. Here, Ash, you know, we have Teresa, a senior team manager, Mike Conley, chair of juvenile. We have the likes of Herbie and Neil and Carmick and Rian, all on national boards, you know. And when you go even to national level, the amount of officials from Donegal that are down there, but we need the local ones. We need somebody that's going to rake a putt. We need somebody to put up a high jump bar. That's where we're struggling with. You know, we just need more people involved. And indeed, parents do come in some stage, but I think they're maybe a little bit afraid of to ask a question or maybe offer their help. But my call would be that, you know, just go ahead to your club and have a talk with them. Tell them that you can't commit to everything, but you'd like to maybe do a couple of hours a week, make a difference, you know.
Yeah. Last year, of course, the numbers for athletics went up nationally. The average was 9%, but Donegal was leading the way. There was around about an impressive 12% increase on membership and athletics in the county. We expect that to grow again off the back of the success over the last number of weeks. Why is it, do you think, that athletics is so popular in this part of the county or the country? And obviously, you say we're punching above our weight here, but like through schools, it's through underage. What is it about athletics in Donegal over the last couple of years?
Yeah, you just mentioned it there, Ashton. The likes of schools programs and one thing or another has been going. The county boards, the clubs themselves, you know, they're really well run. It's big because we're 12%. Last year, we had a target, an all national target figure last year of 75,000. As I said, the national average was about 9% increase, but in Donegal alone was up to 12% increase, and that's probably up there as high as any other county. And that's down again to the county board, how well they work and what's available. Like, the county board is struggling all the time for finances and one thing or another. We just spent a lot of pound there, over 20,000 on new timing system equipment. There's not many county boards in the country are at that level, and having for the finish and timing structures like that, so they're really, really putting a big effort into it. But again, the clubs, as I say, we have 10 clubs, people working hard, trying to invest in coaches and trying to invest in different people to get them on board. But again, as the man says, it comes at a cost because our membership increase is going to go again. We're 2,700 at the minute. That's going to go to 3,000 because of the cross-country season coming up. And again, that's some people, we're very fortunate in Donegal not to have too many waiting lists within clubs, whereas nationally, I think we've got to maybe 100 clubs throughout the country that have waiting lists, and fair play to our clubs that we're keeping the doors open, and I think that's crucial,
Yeah. Just in your own role, Dermot, obviously you're in as development manager with Athletics Ireland, the club development manager. It's been a while since we had you on a spoke. You might just maybe remind us what your role actually entails and how busy a job is it for you?
Listen, it's not a job when you're enjoying it, like a sport, but I suppose the big role that I would be playing here would be obviously trying to work out fundings and one thing and another, trying to get structures going in clubs, trying to help clubs. And again, really what I'm doing here now is trying to achieve something within our own county, within nationally, that we bring these clubs forward, but my role really is obviously growing membership and trying to work out facilities for clubs, trying to improve facilities, trying to improve maybe lighting. So the big one now coming up, and we're just waiting for the announcement now in the next couple of weeks, hopefully, is the sports capital funding. Last year we had possibly, I think it was, sorry, the last time it came out, we had something like 86 clubs that applied nationally. We need that to be over 200. We need the same in Donegal. We need everybody to apply. County board applied, as I said, up the last time it went out and got money and spent it. So that's really part of my role is obviously getting structures going. But the big one now, the monetizing, is getting people on board to apply for some capital funding. And the thing is, the message coming from government is apply for something. That's with the all sporting bodies, apply for something. You'll always get money, So I think that's a message that I would give out to the clubs, county boards and one thing or another out there,
Yeah. Just finally, the track season's now done and dusted. The year's flying and so does Dermot. Cross country's up next. Another busy period lies ahead for athletics in the county and in the region.
Yeah, listen, cross country season's short season, but it's all jam-packed and again. And, that's to me, and people know me too well, that I love the cross country season. It's easier work out. We have county championships. So I think there's one in Mullingerigan, another one in Carndonagh, followed by an Ulster championship, which will be possibly in Belfast, and another one maybe in Finn Valley. It's not confirmed yet. We have an Ulster meeting next week, and then obviously internationals. And where do we see it this year? We're looking for a couple of boys or maybe a couple of girls to try and make national teams and make go to the Eurocross and one thing and another. So that's the big outlook as far as Donegal is concerned as well. We we're always thereabouts. You know, we had in the past, we've always people on teams, and you know, looking at again trying to get people on those teams national level. So again, it's a short season, but a very, very busy season, I think, you know.
Yeah. Listen, Dermot, many thanks for talking to us, and the very best of luck with your continued recruitment. And there's no doubt with this brilliant success of Mark English and the rest of the Irish team that Athletics will be on the up for the next number of months. So well, thanks for joining us, and the best of luck, yeah. Dermot.
Thank you, Archie. Thank you.
That is Athletics Ireland Club Development Manager Dermot McGranahan speaking with our own Oisín Kelly. To Gaelic Games, another big weekend awaits in the Donegal GAA Club Football Championships here in the county. This weekend's first game in the Senior Championship gets underway at 3 o'clock at Park Neave Columba on Saturday, where hosts Glenswilly, who are sitting top, 2 wins from 2 from their first 2 games. They host Killybegs, and the Fishermen have been beaten in both of their opening fixtures and are under pressure to get points on the board. We're going to have live coverage from that game with Jeremy Doherty and Gary McDade from the 3 o'clock throw-in on Saturday here on Highland. Elsewhere, Glenfinn take on Kilcar from 5, and then there's a big game at 7:30. Reigning champions Niamh Connell welcome Termon to Davy Brennan Memorial Park. Ryan Ferry, the sports editor of the Donegal News, he'll have live updates from that game for us. On Sunday, the action gets up and running at 2 o'clock. St Junans are at home to Neave Columba. Our draw host, Ariel Ballyshannon, and in our feature game on Highland Radio Sunday Sport at 2 o'clock, Dunloe, who have won 2 from 2 as well, they play Downings, and Páraic Hilfertaí will bring us live coverage from Rosses Park. And at 4:30, the third team, who have a 100% record so far, Gidor, they play Sean McCool's in Maharagallen, where Oisín Kelly and Brennan Kilcoyne will be describing matters for Highland Radio Sunday Sport. The other game sees the meeting of Four Masters and St Michael. That game is also at 4:30. And after all is said and done in the championship this weekend, you can tune Highlands Way for live coverage of the round 4 draw of the Michael Murphy Sports Senior Football Championship after the 6 o'clock news on Sunday evening. The Intermediate Championship also continues this weekend. On Saturday, St Noll's play Burt at 4 o'clock. Karen Donna face Niamh Padraigishcaigheen from 5:30. And then the late game is at 6:30, and that is between Bundoran and Mallin. Sunday sees Red Hughes take on Milford at 2 o'clock. Fannad welcome Niamh Warra Lower Rosses at 3. And at 4, Muncrana are at home to Clonmacnoise. In the Junior Championship, Pettigo play Niamh Colum Kill and Niamh Breeds play Niamh Padraigclifford on Saturday. While on Sunday, Narasa face Robert Emmett's. Urs play St Mary's Convoy, and Moville go to Niamh Fulton. For more on the Donegal GAA Club Championships, you can listen back to this week's DL Debate, where Brendan Devaney has been speaking with Highland's big match pundit Brendan Kilcoyne. You'll find that now over on our website at highlandradio.com. In the Donegal LGFA Championships on Sunday morning, the Senior Championship sees the top two go head-to-head in Group A. Dunloe face Moville, and Iria Ballyshannon play Niamh Warra in the other game in that group. In Group B, Glenfinn are top with 2 wins from 2 after getting the better of Termon last time out. Glenfinn are away to St Noll's this week, while Termon will look to bounce back when they go to the O'Donnell Park to play St Junans. There are also intermediate and junior games on Sunday morning. And finally, in Gaelic Games, the Donegal Masters have a huge game this coming Saturday. They have an All-Ireland semi-final against Kerry. That game is at 2 o'clock in Clare Galway, and the winner will go on to play Dublin or Waterford in the decider. In motorsport, the Down Rally takes place on Saturday in the Northern Ireland Rally Championship. Tyrone's Cahan McCourt is top of that entry list. There's also local interest in the Galway Stages Rally, which is on Sunday in the National Rally Championship. Finally, for this evening in cricket, Northwest Premier League Section 1 action on Saturday, St Johnstone against Fox Lodge, Coleraine against New Buildings, and it is Donnymanna against Brady. There's actually 2 games on Sunday as well in Section 1. Fox Lodge play Brady, and Donnymanna face New Buildings. Section 2's action is all on Saturday. It's Bonds Glen up against Letterkenny, Burndennet take on Ballyspellin, and Ardmore play Glendermot. Well, that's just about it from me tonight. If you missed any of the show, you'll be able to listen back to it over at highlandradio.com or over on the Radio Player app very shortly. My name is Mark Gallagher. Thank you very much for listening. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday, and I will be talking to you all again very soon. Take care.